have your Bibles, I want you to turn with us to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22. As we come to this chapter, it is the last chapter in the book of 1 Kings. We see a wicked king, probably the most wicked king, by the name of Ahab, ready to be judged by the Lord. It's prophesied that the dogs would lick his blood and that the dogs would eat portions of his wife's body, prophesied because of his wickedness. And at the end of chapter 21, this man humbled himself, and God delayed the sentence of judgment upon Ahab and his family for just the time being. We pick that up in chapter number 22. Our first point will be tonight the word proposals. Proposals. The Bible says that they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Please understand, as you look at this chapter, that there is division between Israel and Judah. Israel has split and become two kingdoms. There is Israel that has about 10 tribes, and there is Judah. The king of Israel, his name is Ahab. In fact, I don't know that his name is going to be mentioned pretty much in this whole little story we're going to be preaching tonight. It just calls him the king of Israel. It no longer calls him Ahab. Probably a reason for that. There's the king of Judah. His name is Jehoshaphat. They are part of that split kingdom. And 3 years, there's been no war between Syria and Israel because Ahab had made a covenant with the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And remember, God told him that he should not have done that, but he compromised and went against the will of God and made a covenant with a sinful people. So 3 years they've got peace. But notice there's a city called Ramoth Gilead, which belongs to Syria. And part of that covenant with Syria, Ben-Hadad said, I will give you back the cities which our fathers took from your people. Well, he gave them all back, evidently, but Ramoth Gilead. I told you can't make a deal with the devil. He won't never deal with you straight up and fair. Amen? Sure enough, you think, well, I'll sell out, I'll compromise on this, and he's still going to come out a winner on both sides if you try to deal with the devil. And Ben-Hadad would not give up that very last city. And Ahab was afraid to try to tackle it by himself because he was afraid of Ben-Hadad. So he goes to his neighbor, which is Jehoshaphat, and he says, Would you help me? Can we join forces? I want to propose to you, would you help me go and fight our enemy, Syria and Ben-Hadad? And Jehoshaphat was a righteous king. He was a man ordained of God. And Jehoshaphat heard this proposal from a wicked man and said, You know what? My people's just like your people. Boy, he shouldn't have said that. Because Ahab's people was a bunch of Baal worshipers that turned from following the Lord God. And the people down in Judah was still trying to serve the Lord God. But yet Jehoshaphat said, My people be as your people, and my horses is your horses. In other words, we're going to join forces, and we're going to get together. Let me say this. I had some folks come to me and say, We're going to have a rock concert with gospel lyrics, and we're going to invite the youth of your church to come. And I said, Oh, that's sad to hear. And they said, We're going to give them free tickets. And here they are. And I put them back in their hands and said, I don't want them. Nope. They're to give to your kids so they can come to the concert and it won't cost them nothing at the gate to get in. And I said, I ain't giving them gospel rock concert tickets. They ain't coming from their pastor. Well, I don't know why not. They named all the churches around here that was participating. This is all the ones that's involved. And I said, well, I ain't giving them out. We ain't participating in that. I don't believe in rock gospel. And I'm not going to support it. And that person looked at me and said, well, your kids are going to come anyhow. I said, if they do, they're going to go on their own. It's not going to be because their pastor said it's okay. You see, Jehoshaphat, would you join in with me? All the other churches are doing it. Let's go down here and be a part of this thing. Jehoshaphat should have never given in to that situation. Why? It was just a couple weeks ago. Standing right here in this pulpit, service is over, had somebody come ask me, said, hey, we got a group wanting to come present a concert at your church, going to sing in the choir, want to have a wonderful time, be a real encouragement for your youth. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, ain't going to be no contemporary music in our church. Y'all just don't know how much I fight against it. You have no idea how many calls I get with people wanting to come in. What? I said, there'll be no contemporary music in our church. We're not going to do that. We just don't believe in it. I said, it turns us off. It turns off the Spirit of God. We're not into that at Bethel. We're old-time Holy Ghost, King James Bible, Holy Ghost filled, shouting, praying, preaching church. That's what we are. And if you want to get up and sing out of that old good old red hymnal or some good old southern gospel songs, or if you want to pick a banjo or a mandolin and sing to the Lord, that'll be all right with me. But as far as that other stuff, we ain't coming in. They said, let us talk to the song leader. And I said, I'm not going to refer you to the song leader. I'm going to be over the top of what he says, and I know he'd support it anyway, but we ain't letting that come in here, are we, Brother Cal? We don't want it. No, sir. And they said, well, we're going to this church and this church and this church, and such and such preacher said they're okay with it. And I said, does such and such preacher really know what they got coming? Well, they didn't ask. I said, well, I did. Amen? I did. And I'm going to tell you what, y'all, we've got to stand against stuff coming into our church. And it's not popular. Oh, boy, it upset them. I mean, they were upset with me. It's not popular, but I'll tell you what. I'd rather be popular with God and have honor from God as to have the popularity and honor of men. Amen? Now, so this king of Israel, can you see him there? As he makes a proposal to the king of Judah, and the king of Judah accepts his proposal. And I want to say to you, the devil will have a proposal for you. Let me go on. Here's another proposal. Jehoshaphat, that righteous king who's kind of compromised a little bit, watch what he does in verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. In other words, the righteous king, even though he's kind of compromised somewhat, he said to that man that served Baal for so long, he said, Ahab, go inquire of the Lord. See if we should really go into this battle. See how things are going to come out. The Lord would tell us whether we should go or whether we should stay. Whether we should fight in the mountain or fight in the valley. The Lord will know. So Ahab, inquire of the Lord. Somebody ought to pray. I say, friend, you ought to pray about the thing you're getting ready to do. I got a feeling you probably wouldn't do what you're getting ready to do if you'd pray about it. Amen? And a lot of your praying is trying to talk God into it. Oh God, would you let me? Oh God, would you let me? Oh God, please. I remember the preacher there, he's pastoring a small church, and the church just down the road, big old church, called him, wanted him to come down there. And the Lord didn't tell him to go, but they called him to come down there. He come home and told his wife. He said, the church down the road's called. They got 600 or 700 members down there, and we only run about 100 up here. And she said, well, what on earth should we do? He said, honey, you need to start praying. Really? He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go pack. You see, we want to pray, oh God, would you let it be your will to do what I want to do? Now watch. He says, I want you to go and pray and seek the Lord's face today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or should I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. What about that? Sounds good, don't it? Should I go up or should I forbear? And 400 prophets come down there and said, Go, king, go. Glory, hallelujah. God said he's going to give victory.
Verse 7, Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? In other words, I don't like your false prophets you just brought out here. I mean, I want a prophet of God, not someone that's supposedly a prophet. I studied that a little bit and got thinking about, I wonder who these prophets were. And I went back. Can you turn back with me? Let's go back a couple chapters. Back there to chapter number 18. You remember when Elijah had that contest with all them Baal worshipers up on top of the mountain? The Bible says in verse number 19, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Did you see that? 450 prophets of Baal, and another 400 prophets of the grove that are eating at Jezebel's table. 450 and 400. Well, when they got into this thing up on Mount Carmel, in the long run, we know that the true God answered by fire and consumed the sacrifice. And then the man of God took that wicked crowd, them 450 prophets of Baal, and the Bible said he slew them. But what about them other 400? Them other 400 which were prophets of the groves. He didn't kill them. They're still around. It might be said that them other 400, the Bible says that they eat at Jezebel's table. They're on the government's payroll. Supported by the government, these prophets were. So guess what? When Jehoshaphat says, go get us a prophet and seek the Lord's face about whether we should go to battle or forbear, he said, I know just who to get. We got 400 that's on the payroll. Tell us, boys, what should we do? King, what you want to do? I want to go. That sounds good. We're just going to give you anything that makes you feel good. And then 400 prophets stood up there and said, yeah, you ought to go, you ought to go. And Jehoshaphat recognized that them boys didn't have the right doctrine, didn't have the right book, was on Ahab's payroll, not on God's payroll. Amen? And said, is there anybody else that's a prophet of the Lord that we should inquire of him? In other words, Jehoshaphat knew the difference between the true man of God and them 400 false prophets that said they're called of God, said they're anointed, and just begin to give their little old forecast based on what Ahab wanted to do. Let me tell you what. There's a lot of that going on in our churches nowadays where some backslid preacher wants to climb up in the pulpit and figures this, I can't stand against alcohol because I'm afraid somebody's going to... His name's Micaiah. I hate him. What an introduction. Wouldn't that be, church? I can't stand up against what Bible we ought to be using because I'm afraid it's going to upset the apple cart and I won't get a payroll no more. I tell you what, I'm afraid to stand. I'm afraid to sit. I don't really know what to do. And there's preachers all over our churches that's scared to death for their job, scared to death that they're not going to get another salary anymore, and they'll just preach whatever the people wants to hear. Bible says that they just got itching ears and someone wants to come on and pat him on the back and tell him it's going to be okay, everything will be all right. These preachers run around nowadays and say, something good is going to happen to you today. You ain't going to hear that here. I'm telling you this all the time, something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. Be ready, something bad's going to happen. Amen? There's a difference. And Jehoshaphat recognized it. And I want to tell you, if you really got a spirit-tuned ear, I mean, if you've really been born again, amen, and you really want the old-time stuff in the old-time way, hey, the Holy Ghost of God will signify to you, you'll get discernment on what kind of preaching you're listening to. Amen? Whether somebody's job's scared or not, amen? Whether they're in it for the right reason or not. And Jehoshaphat was a righteous man, and he knew the difference. What about that? Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. What about that? He said, there's one. Yeah, we got one.
His name's Micaiah. I hate him. What an introduction. Wouldn't that be something? Be sitting on the front row. Maybe you're going to preach revival. I might run into it in the next few weeks for all I know. Going to go preach revival. And the preacher get up and say, well, Darren Waldrop's here to preach tonight, but I hate him. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, we're going to have the Stewart family going to sing tonight, but we hate them. Wouldn't that be, boy, that'd make you feel good. Hey, man, that'd make you feel nice and froggy and want to jump around, get excited about things. Hey, that was his introduction for Micaiah. I hate him. Every time he stands in the pulpit, he's always telling me bad things, and I'm tired of hearing his bad things. Now, I want to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. So, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 6, go there with me, Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse number 14, there is a crowd that's afraid to stand against anything. And Jeremiah 6:14 says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What about that? They're prophesying him to go, go, go. But it may not really be the will of God. Chapter number 8 of Jeremiah, verse number 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It says it twice in the book of Jeremiah, doesn't it? What about that? Well, let's read another one in Isaiah while we're close. Book of Isaiah chapter 30, I believe it is. Yeah, verse number 9 and verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 30. He says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. In other words, you can use the Bible, but you ain't got to mention the blood. You can use the Bible, but I really don't want to hear doctrinal preaching. I don't want to feel conviction of my sins. Well, I've got one of my own family members. He come down where I used to pastor, come down there and hear me twice. He said, I'll never hear you preach again. Every time I hear you preach, I feel convicted and condemned over my lifestyle, over the way I live and want to go out and eat and what I drink when I'm out eating and where I go out clubbing. I feel convicted over those things. And he said, I don't want to hear you preach anymore. He went and got himself into a whole different denomination because he thought all the Baptists was just like me. I'm sorry to tell him, but all the Baptists ain't just like Bethel. Amen? Telling you. Went down to one church. Sunday was having a meeting. Lord of God, that's shouting it out. Every preacher's in the book. Glory, hallelujah. Song leading was great. Singers was wonderful. And the last preacher of the night got up and used a different Bible. And I like to got sick to my stomach. And it killed the whole meeting. And I thought people, ugh. If I hadn't been with other people, I'd have shut the book and I'd have went to the house. It was awful. Amen? It was awful. I want to tell you what, y'all. You want to kill it. You want to kill a good meeting. You start getting away from the things of God. You want to kill your church. You get away from the things of God and say, prophesy unto us a smooth thing. So we don't want to hear the true word of God. Well, he said, I hate this Micaiah guy. He never prophesies good concerning me. Back to 1 Kings chapter 22. He always prophesies evil. What about that? You know why he hates him? Because he preached the message of God. The true message of God. I know there's people tonight that hate my guts and my own family. But I'm not here to please them, and I'm not here to please you. I didn't come to Bethel to please you. I came to Bethel because God sent me. And he told me to preach and not back up. Look what Jehoshaphat, look here, verse number 8, end of verse 8. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. In other words, you shouldn't talk about the man of God like that. You say you hate him and he's prophesying evil things. You ought not to be talking about a man of God like that. David said, you'd better not touch God's anointed. Hey, they said about Elijah, them little youngest did, go up, bald head, go up, bald head. and a she-bear came out of the woods and attacked them and killed a whole bunch. You better be careful what you lay to the man of God. Preacher, I don't like what you're preaching tonight. You better be careful what you say. Read verse number 9. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah." In other words, go get him. Well, where's he at? I believe, according to the scriptures we're going to read later, that the king had Micaiah locked up in prison because he didn't like his preaching. I think he had him locked up and he said, "I want you to hasten. I want you to go get old Micaiah and bring him out." If the king of Judah, if the only way he's going to be happy is if we listen to the man of God, just go ahead and bring him out. So you see a few proposals there. And I want to propose to you tonight, will you pray about your decision before you get ready to do what you're going to do? Would you just go seek the Lord? Seek His face. And whatever answer He gives you, will you live by it? If He says no, will you accept it? If He says, "I want you to wait," will you accept it? I got one amen. I got a bless Him too. I got an amen and a bless Him out of this whole congregation. Lord God, I got some preaching to do tonight. We ought to be willing to accept the answer that the Lord gives us. He's done right, has done right, and always will do right. He knows what's best for your life. Just trust Him with it. Well, that's proposals. What time is it? Number 2. I want you to see some presentations. Verse 10. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Can you see them? I mean, here they set up a throne for King Ahab at the gate of Samaria. You know, the gate was kind of like where the court was, but it was in a void place. Not much of a place. And so they set him up a royal-looking throne there, and he got himself all dressed up, and he sat down. And there's old Ahab sitting over there. And then on this side, they've got Jehoshaphat. And he comes out all decked out and all his royal apparel. And they have a throne for him and he sits there. And those 400 false prophets got up and began to prophesy to them two fellows about what they needed to do. Now we've already heard what they've said do. I want you to watch this. They begin to prophesy and Zedekiah, he's probably the leader there. Zedekiah, the son of Shenana, made him horns of iron, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with thee shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." They just kept saying it. I can just see, Zedekiah and I got them two horns of iron. You know, horn represents power. A horn represents authority. You know, like maybe the horns of a bull. "Take these two horns. Go at the Syrians. And our two horns, Judah and Israel, our united force against the enemy, will push them back and we will ultimately destroy them. That's what God says do." Oh, I bet he had one of the great... I'm telling you what... He had them two horns there. I bet they looked pretty. I bet it was one of the best picture illustrations you've ever seen. And got all them other prophets said, "Yeah, man, that sounds good." Hey, it may sound good, but is it the will of God? Hey, it may sound good, but does it line up with the Scripture? Could tell you how many churches I've been in, had an eloquent speaker, had all kinds of demonstrations. People got excited, promoting the power of positive thinking. Sounded good, looked good, but didn't fit the book. And if it don't fit the book, we ought not to have it in our lives. They just kept on. All of them saying, "Hey, you need to go. We've got to fight this battle. Let's go." What a presentation that was. Kind of reminds me of a lot of these churches that's into entertainment. "Let's get these two horns. And I tell you what, let's use the horn of dancing. And let's get the people jumping, you know, like you're at the ball game. Man, we're having a time. Woo! Ain't this good? Sweat rolling down their face. You know, go home, got to take a shower. Say, "Boy, I'm wore out. Boy, we had a service. Well, what did the preacher preach?" "I don't know if the preacher even preached.
I couldn't tell you. I was so wore out after all that dancing. And tell you the truth, the music was so loud I couldn't hear him anyway. I'm still trying to get that ringing out of my... But I can't wait to go back. You know? That's right. We had Billy Beat and his... Or Billy Fleet and the band with the beat or whoever it is come in here. We had a glory hallelujah time. And we used that horn of the flag team and... Oh, wow! How impressive! Everybody there was excited. Man, it was great. What did he preach out of? I couldn't tell you. Something about Time magazines. All I can tell you about something about the Iraq-Contra dark chemicals in the sky stuff going on. And it was good. Sounded great. If they don't line up with a book, it don't belong in our lives. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how wonderful he speaks. I don't care how. I almost want to tell you, if it soothes your conscience, you got a problem. Amen? Because there ain't nothing about our flesh that's good. Well, what a presentation Zedekiah had. And verse 13, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him. In other words, I believe he's fishing him out of the prison. He gets him out and he begins to talk to him. He says, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. In other words, they're all in one accord. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them and speak that which is good. Hey, Micaiah, we're having a time up there. The kings are both happy. Zedekiah's got them two horns. Man, it's been something. Don't mess up the service. Don't come in here with your fire and brimstone preaching. We like alcohol. It's okay in moderation. We like new Bibles. We like that jazzed up music. I mean, we ain't never had such a fine congregation of young people. It's the most young people we've ever had in the service. Micaiah, don't go up there and laugh it up. Don't use that King James Bible. Don't give us what God says. Just, I'm begging you, just this one time, let your words be like everybody else. Please, I'm advising you. Just get along with us, and it'll be all right. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. I think he's saying, if it hair lips the devil, I don't care. If it causes your service to back up, and it throws cold water on the whole song and dance and the big routine you got going on, and if it rusts the two horns of Zedekiah, let them rust. But what God says is what I'm going to preach. And nothing less. That's what I was raised in. Men of God had a backbone to stand. Not afraid. Well, we see in verse number 15. So he came. You see what he said? He said, listen, he's come right to you. He said, I want you to prophesy unto us smooth things. So he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? Same question he asked him other fellows. And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Micaiah has said what everybody else said. He did just, yes, yes, what we wanted to hear. But you didn't really hear the tone with which he said it. Kind of mocking and laughing. And I think if you'll reread his words, he might be trying to say, you just go ahead. And the Lord is going to deliver it into the hand of the king. The only problem is, I think he's referencing, you are going to be delivered into the hand of King Ahab, or into the hand of King Ben-Hadad. If you go up there and you go up, the Lord's going to deliver you into the hands of the enemy. They didn't get that part. Ain't that something? I think that's what he's trying to tell them. Well, somehow, look at this next verse. And the king said unto him, somehow he must have recognized the mockery of Micaiah's voice. He says, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? What about that? The king, old Ahab, recognized he's making a mockery of what my prophets have said. And he somehow twisted his statement, and I don't know what he said. And he says, I tell you what, Micaiah, how many times have I not tell you I want the truth? You can't handle the truth. You really don't want to know the truth. I had to confess the other night over there at Fort Mountain. I'd been down the altar to pray. I said, oh God, show my heart. Oh, we'd had a service. It'd been wonderful. Lord, show me my heart. Boy, I was having a worship time with Him. Felt so close to Him. Got in the car, went in the house. Come in the door. Gina said something I didn't like. What do you mean by that? She told me. I appreciate it. I said, let me tell you something. I got some word for you. Oh, y'all don't ever do that. I told her, and I marched myself up the steps. I was mad. I went in there to the closet, took off my jacket, throwing it down. I can't believe she would act like that. God said, hello. It's me, the Holy Spirit of God. And you asked me to show you your heart. I just showed you. Oh, didn't we have a time back there at church? We was all spiritual in front of all them nice people when you was down there weeping and calling on me. And you said, show me your heart. I'm showing you. You are short-tempered. Ride a high horse. This didn't happen last Sunday. This happened a long, long time back. We was living at Garden Drive in Hoopers Creek, North Carolina. I'll never forget it. It tore all to pieces. Man, I got down on my knees and said, oh, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Would you forgive me? Lord said, I forgive you. Now you go talk to your wife. Oh, Lord. Lord, I beg you, Lord, would you forgive me? I forgave you. Oh, but God, would you just work it out? I don't want to go back down there and say I was wrong. She started this. She spoke first. Why should I have to apologize for what she said? I ain't going down there. She said, because you're the man of the house. And you're the one that had been all spiritual down here. And you get down there and you tell her you're sorry. She's at the sink. And I've never seen dishes and water flying. I'm telling her, sure. I thought she was in the Holy Ghost. And I went down there to her. And I walked up behind her. She spun around. I said, I'm sorry. I've had to say, I'm sorry to God. I'm so sorry to you. Would you forgive me? She said, I'm sorry too. She said, my heart's been jumping around ever since I spoke. I said, I'm so sorry. And then I just planted one right on her ruby red lips. It's my wife. That's all right. We just made out for a little while right there. Kind of learned I ought to start picking a few fights. I don't know. But I wanted to know the truth when I was in that altar. I said, God, I want to know the truth about my heart. And I found out I couldn't handle the truth. No man knows his own heart because the Bible says it's desperately wicked. You don't know, bless God, what you're capable of given the right situation and the right amount of pressure put on you. You'd better be prayed up, stored up, kept up. Amen. Well, he said, I want the truth. And he said, all right then, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. You know what he's saying? He said, Ahab, you want to know the truth? God showed me a vision. And I saw all of our people upon the hill scattered like sheep. And the shepherd, you're supposed to be the leader. You're a dead man. You're gone. And we don't have no king. You want to know the truth?
you're going to die. This is your last war if you take off of this one. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? No, I told you what he would say about me. Says I'm going to die in the next battle and the people will be scattered like sheep that have no shepherd. He wanted to know the truth. But you know what? He couldn't handle the truth. And when he got the truth, he complained about it. Have you ever went home upset with the word that God spoke to you?
I have.
I was upset at the church. I didn't like what the preacher said. Because it got me. And I'm telling you, there's been a few times I didn't know I've got till I got down the road and I started thinking about what the man of God said and I looked down and I was still bleeding where he had cut me and sliced me and diced me all to pieces with the word. Amen? I tell you, the truth's hard to swallow sometimes. Well, we're talking about presentations. Micaiah has given a pretty vivid presentation. What do you think? Well, Mike, look here. He's going to give another one. When he hears that feller complaining about the message, watch what he does. He said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. There came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? He said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. And the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Did you get all that? Ooh, boy, that's deep. I probably got a whole message right here. There's the Lord sitting on the throne. You've got some on his right hand and some on his left hand. Spirit beings, no doubt. According to the scriptures, in one of these days he said he's going to separate the wheat from the tares, from the chaff even. And he's going to say to some, going to say to the sheep, stand on my right side, and he's going to say to the goats, stand on my left. I'm certain you've been in your hearing at some point or another. He's going to be the great divider between good and evil. Amen? And so he's looking for someone that's going to get Ahab and get him into a place of chastisement and a place where the judgment of God's going to fall. Why, preacher? Because he laughed at the man of God. Because he's imprisoned the man of God. Hey, preacher, I thought he repented. You see something here? He's decided to go back out and sin and said, I'm better than the Word of God. I'm better than the man of God. I'm telling you what, he was. And God said, I'm looking. And he said, I know just what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a lying spirit down to his 400 prophets. And I'm going to let them prophesy unto him that everything's going to be all right. Preacher, why would God do that? I'm going to tell you why. Because that's what Ahab wanted. Ahab wanted someone to tell him it was okay. He didn't want the truth. He was begging, oh God, I want someone to give me smooth things. And God said, you want it? You got it. And he let a lying spirit come down and get a hold of them 400, and they begin to, with their little demonstrations, give him a bunch of lies, and he's believing every bit of it. Can I say to you tonight, a lot of our churches has got just what they want. They're sitting on the seat of do nothing, and they're tickled to death to be there. They don't want a preacher to preach. They'll complain, well, it's dried, it's fizzled out. But you know what? There's probably some leadership in that place that says, we like dry and we like fizzled out. We don't want to have to get up and do anything. We don't want to have to give. We don't want to have to go to Sunday school. We don't want to have to go to... I don't want to hear a preacher tell me that I need to be in prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I already know it. Don't tell it to me. Bless God if God tells me to get up in the pulpit and to tell you that we need to surrender beyond our commitment and we ought to be in the house of God on Wednesday night when the church doors is open. Hey, That's what I won't preach. Well, I get to thinking about them spirit beings on each side. I want to read the book of Job, chapter 1, to you in your hearing tonight, please. If you'd turn there with me. Preacher, I'm not going to turn. Humor me, please. Please humor me. At least turn your pages in your Bible to something. Make me think you're turning there. It would make me feel a whole lot better tonight. Because I realize I've been a little bit mean, probably, from the pulpit. The book of Job, chapter number 1, verse number 6. Realize there's a meeting taking place in heaven in the scripture we're reading in the book of 1 Kings. The Bible says in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Remember, the Lord said, "From whence cometh thou?" He said, "From tossed to and fro upon the earth." In other words, he's come before the throne of God and ends up accusing Job. And God lets him touch some things in Job's life, but not to take his life. Did you see Satan stood before the throne of the Most High God? But I believe with all my heart he has to stand on the left side because he's a goat. I want to read another scripture in your hearing tonight in the book of Revelation. Chapter number 12, verse number 10. If you would humor me and turn a few pages in. I ain't turning them. I'm here. I'm listening. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 10. Preacher, it's almost time to go. You're right. Well, what you going to do about it? I'm listening to you. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.'" What he's saying is, the devil has had access to the throne of God to come and accuse us. But there's coming a day when he gets... Well, preacher, he's already been kicked out of heaven. No. He still has access to go back and forth now, but there's coming a day when God says, "I've closed the door. You ain't getting back up here. You're like a cat backed in the corner, son. That's it. I've heard enough of you. The accuser of the brethren is cast..." Glory to God for a place the devil can't get to. That one accuses us. He says also, "Hey God, look what he done. Hey God, look what she said. Hey God, look what they've done." He does it all the time. And guess who's one of them ones that appeared before the Lord? In this time of Ahab, he says, "Lord, look at old Ahab down there." Humor me one more time. John chapter number 8 comes to my mind. John chapter 8, verse number 44, please. What a presentation this is that Micaiah is presenting. "I saw the Lord, and they were on the right and on the left, and God's going to send a lying spirit unto those prophets." What's verse 44? Jesus is talking. He says to the Pharisees and some of them religious leaders, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." I didn't call him a liar. Jesus did. Who do you think the lying spirit that's going to leave the heavens and come down and enter in amongst them false apostles, them false prophets, who do you think that lying spirit is? It's the devil himself. Come down! Right in that great religious meeting. He realized he has access to the throne of God. Did you know he has access to come right in this church? Some lost person may just carry him right in with him. He, for all I know, has a standard attention somewhere, and probably he goes back to try to get your mind off the scripture and get you counting the boards on the ceiling, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, there's 11 or 12 lights across this way, there's 1, 2, 3, I can count. If y'all going to sit there and count them, I'm going to count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 5 here, that's the number of grace, and then there's 1, 2, 3 here, and there's tomb back there. Oh, ain't that pretty? Looks like a little fish around the cross. Oh, that's really something to look at. That's what y'all do. Why can't I do it? Huh? Hello? He sent a lying spirit down amongst the prophets and said, go up, go up, go up. Why? Because that's what Ahab wanted. And a lot of our churches has got just what they want. You'll come to church in here on Sunday morning, and if you ain't prayed about in the service, no wonder you didn't get nothing. Let me go on. Verse number 24 of 1 Kings. Preacher, you're going to preach more. It's almost time to go. I want to mention some persecutions. But Zedekiah, remember the one with the horns, the son of Tanana, went near and he smote Micaiah on the cheek. In other words, when Micaiah said them lying spirits filled them prophets, that prophet Zedekiah walked right up and went right in his face. Slapped him right in the face. Oh, I bet that's spiritual. Just whap! Holy Ghost told me to knock you out. You know that the lying spirit's on him because he's committing acts of violence. He got in the flesh and got mad. I'm telling you what. You ain't in the Holy Ghost when you throw that water pot at somebody. You ain't in the Holy Ghost when you want to throw the flares at them. Amen? Holy Ghost is going to be about peace, not about violence. Amen? So he smacked him right in the face and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Man, I didn't grasp that statement. He said, you're going to find out when you go in the inner chamber pretty soon. You're going to know which way the Spirit of God's went around this place. What? And I went back there to chapter number 20. I want to chase it down. Verse number 30. You remember when Ahab had Ben-Hadad, he had him cornered, and God told him, said, I want you to kill him. I want you to get rid of old Ben-Hadad. Instead of getting rid of him, instead of getting rid of sin in his life, he agreed to it and made a peace treaty with it. Remember? Guess where Ben-Hadad was hiding? Verse number 30. The rest fled to Aphek in the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city into an inner chamber. He said, you're going to find out, you false prophet, when you gather in the inner chamber pretty soon. Ben-Hadad was cornered. Sin was cornered. I'm telling you what, you're getting ready to be cornered. Guess what's going to happen pretty soon? Ahab's going to die. And when he's over there in the corner dying in the inner chamber, guess who's going to be probably one of the ones come try to, oh, King, I don't know what happened to you. I'm so sorry about you getting shot with an arrow. Oh, it's just a... You know what? He's going to find out then that he was a lying preacher. He was a liar. And he's going to gather in the inner chamber there when Ahab dies, I believe. And I believe that's just what happened. Now go back with me quickly. I'm trying to move on. Y'all's about to preach me to death tonight. Bible says, verse 26, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah. Now this is why I think he's in prison. Take Micaiah and carry him back. Well, you only go back to somewhere you just come from. I think he just come from prison, and he said, carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction, and with the water of affliction, until I come in peace. Boy, they're persecuting the man of God. Said, I'm put you in a prison. I'll shut you up and teach you to talk to me, the king, that away. I'm tired of listening to your fire and brimstone preaching. I just won't come back. I won't listen to you no more. And Micaiah said, I've got a little persecution I'm going to make. If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken to me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. If the king comes back alive, God never spoke to me. I'm a liar. But if he dies, the rest of these boys is a bunch of counterfeits. Hey, let me tell you what. They said to me one time, the proof is in the pudding. I'm telling you where the Word of God is really, truly being desired and prayed over and preached, there will be results. There'll be souls saved. There'll be feeding of the Holy Ghost. People will be nurtured. They'll be growing. They'll be excited. They'll want to be around the fire, amen, if it's real. That old dead stuff, I'm telling you, is in bad shape. Well, I want to see a little proclamation here. I'm going to try to move quick now. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. They left anyway. Can you believe Jehoshaphat? I feel like there's somebody here tonight, and I need to tell you. You've already been to the place of compromise over this thing, but you've now been warned. You've been warned. If y'all go up there, there's going to be trouble. And the Bible says Ahab went anyway. I expected him to go. He probably's lost, don't know no better. But Jehoshaphat knows better, and he goes anyway. I want to say to somebody in this building, you know better. Preacher, what does that mean? You know what it means. It's what he told me to tell you. You know better. That he continue with this thing. And he went right on, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, he says, the king of Israel says to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I'm going to prove that old my tail. I'm going to prove I'm a man of God wrong. I don't like what he said, but I'm going to show him a thing or two. I'll disguise myself. I'll take off my royal robe, and I'll act like just anybody else because you know everybody's going to suspect me to be the prime target of the battle. And I'm going to disguise myself and enter into the battle. He says, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. In other words, he said, Jehoshaphat, now you dress up like a king that you are, and I'm going to hide. And they're going to kill you. They'll be aiming for you. Jehoshaphat, how crazy was he to go ahead and put on royal robe and go right out there as a prime target? Hey, I'm talking to somebody here. You know better. How far are you going to take this thing? You really think you're going to come out okay? Jehoshaphat just riding his horse. Just, yeah, it'll be all right. I trust Ahab. He's been a real dear friend of mine. Let me tell you what. Your friends will mess you up in a heartbeat and never be there when Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Your friends that pushed you over and caused that to happen in your life, hey, bad enough their counseling is going to get it back together when it falls apart. Amen? Well, they went off into the battle. And watch the king of Syria. He's been Hadad. He commanded his 32 captains that had rule over the chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. He said, don't worry about fighting this little group over here or this captain and his men. He said, I want you boys, when you go out, I want you to find me the king of Israel. I want you to find Ahab. I'm going to kill him. Hey, that's the same fellow that saved his life just a few years ago. That's the same fellow that showed him mercy. He said, I'm going to kill him. You see what agreeing with the devil's going to do to you? You see what agreeing with sin says, oh, you let me by? I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take you down the first chance I get. Hey, go find the king of Israel and off his head. Watch. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it's the king of Israel. No, he's the king of Judah. I told you he shouldn't have been out there in that royal robe dressed as a king. They said, that's him. Surely it's the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. I ain't got time to go into it, but according to the book of 2 Chronicles, when he cried out, when he began to cry out, the Bible says Jehoshaphat realized in the middle of that battle, oh God, I've made a great mistake. Oh God, would you help me? Would you forgive me? Would you save me? And God heard his cry in the middle of that battle, and he changed the enemy's minds, and they recognized, hey, I heard his voice in the cry. He's not the king of Israel. That's Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. We ain't got no fight with him. Watch here. Came to pass when the captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. What about that? Let me go on real quick. And a certain man drew a bow at venture. He just, I got one arrow left to shoot, Brother Matt. Just one. I'm going to pick up my bow, and I'm just, bing! And there if there's ever been a sin-seeking missile. I've had a few of them hit me when the preacher preached. Boom! Hit Ahab. I mean, at a venture, at random. But listen, God guided that thing. The Bible says it smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said to the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day. And the king stayed up in his chariot. I bet the whole time he stayed up in his chariot that day. The whole time he's thinking, oh God, Micaiah was right. And the Bible said the chariot against the Syrians and died at even.
and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. He died. And there went out a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his own city and every man to his own country. Guess what? The sheep are scattering all over the place. And they begin, this is under our hidden proclamations. They said, hey, the king of Israel is dead! And they quit. They just took off running their own directions. And the Bible says, watch here. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Guess what? The man of God said, you're going to die. Just like my KID said, it happened. Prophecy was fulfilled. Guess what else? They began to wash out, the Bible says, they washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Remember? They said, the dogs are going to lick up your blood. Guess what? The words of Elijah have come to pass. Hey, there was a third one. There was an anonymous man of God who said, because you didn't kill Ben-Hadad, when you didn't kill sin when you were supposed to, your life for his. He's going to live now and you're going to die. Micaiah, Elijah, and an anonymous prophet all predicted and foretold it. Sin was going to kill him. He wouldn't listen. He's gone. Dogs licking his blood. I want to say to you tonight, you be careful with what you do. You stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Appreciate all that's here tonight. Pray, God, you'd help us to see truth tonight in the message. Pray, God, you'd bless each one with a safe return to their home. I pray, God, you'd let each one of us examine ourselves, Lord. I don't know nothing amongst this people, but, Lord, somehow I think you do. And Lord, I pray you now you touch and you bless and you'd move as only you can. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.